Have your Bible, please, again, folks, would you open at that portion which we read, Matthew 27. If your Bible's opened, we'll just seek the Lord's help. Short word of prayer. Praying earnestly that God would come and the voice of man, in a sense, would be silent and God's voice would be heard, even in this service this evening. Let's all pray. Father, we thank Thee tonight again for Thy mercy towards us. We can say with the hymn writer tonight, who is a pardoning God like unto Thee, or who hath grace so rich and so free. We thank Thee for the blood, the precious blood of Christ, the blood that speaks in heaven tonight for me. We thank Thee for Thy blessed Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, tonight that Thou would come. Thou dost know the weakness of the flesh. Lord, You know the weakness of the man. Lord, we thank Thee that there's power in the gospel. Thank Thee that Thy word is truth, and Thy word is settled in heaven forever. Bless Thy word tonight. May it be an effectual word. May it be a word that will bring forth fruit. Come and help us, Lord. Fill us now with Thy Spirit. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first verse when I was reading this portion of God's word was a very poignant verse. And it says quite simply there, when the morning was come. When the morning was come. And what a morning this was to be. What a day this was to be there in Jerusalem. When we consider the events that were about to take place. When we think way back to the book of Genesis. And we think of the prophecy even there concerning the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think of the sacrifice in the temple and the hundreds of thousands upon thousands of animals that had been slain and their blood had been shed, when we think of all the scripture in the Old Testament, we'll see shortly, that points it towards the cross in this moment in time. Finally, here we see in this portion of scripture when the morning was come. And we come to one of the most powerful, I believe, portions of God's Word. Certainly the climax of this Bible. Many today would say that the Gospel is only seen in the New Testament and the Old Testament is just for history. What utter rubbish. For truly the Gospel of grace is from Genesis right through to Revelation. And so we come to the portion before us. And if you were looking for a text tonight, there's no particular text, except the subject would be, I'm sure you've guessed even from the hymns, the subject is the subject of the cross and the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When asked to preach, when our brother asked me to preach, and we considered what we could do, and coming up to such a congregation as this, we get maybe caught up and trying to maybe to impress and think of the deep things and etc., etc. But then the thought came of the cross. My first thought was, maybe it's too simple. And oh, the devil's lie. Oh, to think tonight that we would ever forget to preach the cross, the central theme of the gospel. The most important part of the gospel is the cross work of Christ. And woe unto me, the Bible says, if we preach not the gospel. Every message, every portion of scripture should point to the cross. For the cross is the center of this world, the center of this life. The center and the focal point of all our preaching should be the cross of Christ. To the world, to the unsaved, it is utter foolishness. In this 21st century, with all its history, with all its technology, with all its wisdom, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who believe not. But unto us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We think of some instances in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 31, we think of the transfiguration. We see Peter and John up the mount. And we see that they see Elijah and Moses and the Lord Himself, and they speak together. What was their subject? What was the topic of their conversation? It says it was His decease. It was the cross work. It was that moment in Calvary when Christ would offer himself a sacrifice for sin. Abraham, the Bible says, rejoiced to see my day, that is Christ's day. Abraham, I believe, seen something of the crosswork of Christ. David in Psalm 22 speaks there, read it when you go home, a very poignant psalm. A psalm where he says, many bulls of Bashan have compassed me about. And where that cry goes up, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a psalm written some, I don't know, 600,000 years before Christ was crucified. And there we see in Psalm 22 a depiction of the crosswork of Christ. In Isaiah 53, we see the cross. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The Lord Jesus Christ was bruised for me. He was wounded for me. And it says that the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Christ bore my sin in his own body upon the tree, and God laid it on him. Who can understand the mysteries of the cross? As we've already quoted in Genesis 3 and 15, the great prophetic utterance, even there where the seed of the woman, that was Christ, would bruise the head of Satan. Where? It took place at the cross of Christ. The Lord himself called it my hour, my day. Everything points to this hour, to his hour, and to his cross. In Gethsemane, the cross looming before him, he cried, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt, that he might please the Father. I heard last week on the television, one of the big churches in Belfast, I'll not name it, probably the biggest, and the man I heard with my own ears said that the atonement was accomplished in the garden and not at the cross. I tell you, the cross of Christ was the place where the blood was offered, where the blood was accepted, and the atonement was made. Thank God for the cross of Christ. I want to look at some aspects of the cross this evening. First, we see the person of the cross. A very simple message. You may think it's a very simple statement. The person who died upon the cross of Calvary. And yet what a muck, in a sense, this world and false religion makes of that simple statement. The person was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, or the promised one, the Messiah. Our religion is based not on religion itself, for religion of itself will take you to hell. Nor is it based on some deity of man's imagination, as the pagans would worship. But our gospel is based upon a living Savior, revealed in the Word of God. And the Bible says that he died for me. And if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, he died for you. And is alive forevermore. Who is this Christ of God? In John chapter 1, turn to it very, very quickly. John chapter 1. And it says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you translate that into the Word being Christ as he was, in the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. And so we see here that the person upon the cross was none other than the Son of God. But I tell you, not only was he the Son of God, although he was, but he was none other than God the Son. There's a big difference there. The Jehovah's Witness will come to your door, and they will say that they believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. But ask them, do they believe that he was God the Son? And they recoil back from you, for they don't believe it. They deny his deity, the deity of Christ, his Godship. But also, Christ was very man, of very man. Pilate cried that day, as he stood before the crowd, he said, behold the man, behold the man, Christ Jesus. I say to you tonight in this service, behold the man, behold Christ. Oh, to think that God, the eternal Son, should die for me. Who can understand it? Who can take it in what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. This is He who left heaven's glory. This is He who was eternal before the hills in order stood or earth received their frame. Christ was. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Oh yes, His humanity was born in Bethlehem, but His divinity, His sonship was given because He was before all things. Who can understand 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 where it says, "For He that is our God hath made Him that is Christ to be sin for us." He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, the wonder of it all. Jehovah said, "Ken you the Lord our righteousness?" This Jesus, as we've said, was also very man of very man. See Him sit upon Sychar's well in Samaria, tired and weary. See Him weep at Lazarus' tomb. See Him shed the tears. See Him at Jerusalem as He stands over that great city, broken hearted, and pleads for His people. See Him fast in the wilderness with hunger, tempted by the devil. Oh yes, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, Jesus, the man, but without sin, for us, for you, for me. Isaiah says, "There was no beauty in Him that we should desire Him." I know there was a day, there was a time in my life when I seen no beauty in Christ, when rather there would have been a hatred in my heart towards the gospel. But ah, now when the eyes have been opened, when we've been saved, when we've learned to love Him, and oh, what beauty there is in Christ tonight. And oh, if your eyes have never seen it, if your eyes have never seen Him, we plead with you tonight. Come to know Him. Come to know Him as your own and personal Savior. Who is this that hangs between heaven and earth, bruised and battered and beaten and broken and forsaken? See, from His hands, His side, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. The person of the cross is God the Son, and it is God the Son that we present upon the cross of Calvary. We present Him before you tonight, and this doctrine is vital. It is vital that Christ was God, because He had to be God, that there could be a resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness for sins. Oh, let us all fall at His feet and worship Him this evening as we bow our heads in prayers we've just done. Maybe also bow our hearts before Him and worship Him. He is worthy. He is worthy to be worshipped tonight. Secondly, we see the power of the cross. Quite simply, the power of the cross was the utter defeat of sin. The cross gives us the power to live over sin, power to live for God, even in this sinful world. Brother, sister, tonight, I'm sure you know all about it. This world is not an easy place to live as a believer. Yet thank God for the blood of Christ that enables us, and for the cross that gives us the power to live above sin in the world. What an awful thing sin is. See it enter the garden. See the destruction it brings, everything it touched. God had made man and creation. He had made man and creation beautiful. But oh, the curse of sin came in. And the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. You tonight, my friend, have sinned. Speaking to a man in work the other day, telling me of another man who had died. And he says, that's strange. He was such a good man. He was such a good man. He must be in heaven. Oh, the lie of the devil. For all have sinned. And all have come short of the glory of God. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man's communion with God was broken in the garden. What is the wages of this sin? The wages of this sin is death and the curse and hell for all outside of Jesus Christ. Where do you stand tonight? Where do you stand as regards to the cross? Oh, you may say, "I believe it." You may say, "I've been brought up in it. I belong to a Christian home, a Christian family." But the question is, are you in Christ? The question is, are you in or are you out of Christ? There's a line that divides in this meeting tonight for those who are in Christ and those who are out of Christ. No, to understand sin's blackness and sin's darkness and sin's depravity, we must look at the price that it cost to defeat sin, and we come to the cross. God's remedy, God's only remedy for the sin of the heart, for the sin of this world. And oh, what a teeming mass of millions upon millions of souls that are down in the depths and the depravity of sin. But thank God, the moment a sinner gets to the cross, that moment the power of sin is broken forever. The power of the cross is seen in a man whose life is ruined by drink, ruined by gambling, ruined by the filth of this world, ruined by, in a sense, his respectability. These people can be delivered by the power of the cross. So many of us live defeated lives as even believers. And yet, if only we would get to the cross, there is power to overcome all temptation. Believer tonight, never lose sight of the cross. Never lose sight of Jesus. Never lose sight of the blood of the Lamb. Know that unbelievers, you tonight might see the cross as well. You might see it and experience its power to deliver you from the curse and the penalty of sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that believe not as foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. When Paul came to Athens, Acts 17 and 16, he seen the city was given over to idolatry, given over to sin. What a filthy city it was, and yet it was an educated city. It was a city of enlightenment of the day. Sin abounded in every hand. Oh, Paul, he didn't try to intellectually persuade them. He didn't try to answer their arguments as to regards their idolatry and their respectability. But what did he do? He preached Christ. He preached the cross. Foolishness to some, but to others, thank God, it was to change their lives forever. Thank God, 28 years ago, I could say that my life was changed completely. Changed and turned right around, never to be the same again. Sin had to go. It was a costly price. I lived in my sin and I loved my sin. And there was pleasure in sin, but it was only for a season. But thank God, the day I met Christ, the day I came to the cross, the power of sin was broken forever. Never be afraid, brother or sister, to preach the cross, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Let them mock, let them scorn, let them come on to the television and mock the Christian and mock our gospel. But thank God, it is still the power of God unto salvation. We see the purpose of the cross. Well, quite simply, the purpose of the cross tonight is to save. It is to bring redemption. It is to buy the sinner back from the paths of sin. Bring him back to God to satisfy God's divine justice. To reconcile us. You see, God must punish sin. Sin must be punished. If God is to be just, then sin must be punished. Well, you may think tonight, you may think in your mind that, oh, you're not too bad a person. You may think that in your own heart that you're not too bad. You're pretty respectable. You're not like the bad sinners. Oh, you're not a bad person. Yea, you could even be called a good person. Yea, you could even say, I'm better than most Christians that I meet. But listen, when a sinner commits one sin, he's guilty before God, and God must punish sin. There is no other way. The world makes the cross a place of martyrdom, a place of idolatry with their jewelry and their crosses and some of the churches and their communion tables. No, the purpose of the cross was and is to save his own elect people, to purchase his bride, his church. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, to redeem them, to wash them in his own blood. This is the great plan of redemption, and it is brought together at the cross. Some have heard say that the cross was a mistake, that God had a great plan for this world, and that somehow that sin came in, and that the cross was really a mistake, and it maybe shouldn't have happened, but the cross was no mistake. This was God's plan. This was God's purpose. Man, by denying the blood, by denying his deity, or that he was God, man, by denying his cross, they attacked the very core of the gospel. Brother, sister, we who worship, as we worship God this evening, may the Lord help us to view again the cross and see the place of atonement, where Jesus bled and died for our sins. The word that I love, the word propitiation, and it simply means that Christ offered himself as sacrifice for sin. That's to expiate. But then it goes on to say, to appease the wrath of God. God's wrath upon sin. God's wrath tonight upon the sinner. God's wrath upon you. Thank God the cross of Christ, if you come to it, is the place where that wrath is appeased and is taken away. Are you burdened down with care? Are you burdened down with troubles and trials and sorrow? Get to the cross, believer. Get to the cross. But at the cross, there's a price to pay. Sin has to go. And maybe that's why at times even we as believers are so reluctant to get back to the cross. But to the sinner, the cross is the place he saves. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, what a Savior tonight. He can take the deepest dyed sinner. He can take the man that is down in the very dregs of society, and he can make him a prince with God. The cross is where you must go. The cross is where you must begin. The purpose of the cross, the purpose of his death, is that you sinners might live. Out of darkness into light. Believer, the cross is the place of forgiveness. We can be caught up in our church work. We can be caught up in religion. Get back to the cross. Get back to the place where Jesus bled and died. Don't get too high-minded. Remember, Jacob had to get back to Bethel. He had to get back to where he met the Lord. He had to get back and rebuild the altar on his knees before God. Oh, if you're cold at heart tonight, yeah, if you're even backslid tonight, get back to the cross. Get back to Bethel, as it were, and rebuild the altar in repentance. Oh, thank God. Lastly, we see the glory or the victory of the cross. We see the utter defeat of death. The utter defeat of the fear of death, of hell, of sin, of the devil. Thank God Christ at Calvary defeated them all. He rose again from the dead for our justification, just as if we'd never sinned. Death could not hold him. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant over the tomb. I remember listening, I've probably said it here before, when death approached Christ, it had nothing in him, for there was no sin in him. The spotless, pure Lamb of God, sin could not overcome him as it will overcome all of us. And when death approached Christ, thank God that he willingly stepped into death for you and for me. And in his stepping into death, he broke the power of death forever. Colossians 1 and 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of death and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christ is King. My friend, I thank God tonight that I'm saved. I thank God tonight I can say that Jesus Christ is my King. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank God for the victory of the cross. Thank God tonight for Calvary. There is victory over the power of sin, death and hell. Victory in Jesus. Every day. Where? to be found at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Oh, sinner, tonight, come to the cross. There you can leave your sin. Thank God that sin can be taken away, never to be remembered against you again. Thank God for that victory. I thank God on that day when the world mocked and scorned. In Matthew 27, and to think, as we read there tonight, that it says that the creature smote the Creator upon the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And they smote him over the head with the reed. Who can take it in that the creature should treat the Creator in such a fashion? Oh, my friend, they mocked him and they scorned him. But thank God that day there was victory in heaven. Thank God for that wonderful day when the angels sang, when Christ obtained our redemption. Thank God it was the cross where he paid that price that we may understand and have and obtain redemption and the utter defeat of sin. Thank God the angels sang in heaven. Oh, they can mock. Oh, they can pour scorn. Oh, they can ridicule us. They can call us odd. They can call us strange. They can call us old-fashioned. Oh, thank God tonight for all those things. But thank God tonight we have the truth. Christ is alive. Thank God he rose again from the dead. Sin shall not have dominion over you, the Bible says. Why? Because he that is Christ obtained the victory at Calvary upon the cross. Thank God there he bled, he suffered, and he died. And thank God today he's seated in heaven for you and for me if you're saved. In the cross of Christ, all the sacrifices, all the hundreds of thousands of animals that were slain, and all the rivers of blood that were poured out, and all the types were all fulfilled, never to be repeated again, or ever will be. Not all the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. What a wonderful redemption we have. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, look what you're missing. Out of Christ and darkness, your future lies before you in a lost eternity in hell. Death is approaching us all. It says when we read at the start, when the morning came, when that moment came. And I tell you, friend, that day will come for you when death will come. We never think it will happen. Saturday before Christmas, I never thought what would happen to me that day was ever going to happen. But the day came. And the day will come in your life when that awful event will come and death shall come. The icy hand of death will be upon you. Thank God the glory of the victory in this life is that Christ, he takes the deepest dyed sinner in the gutter and he makes him a prince. He maketh the rebel a priest and a king. Oh, thank God the ultimate victory of the cross is seen in Revelation. I think it's Revelation 21 and 9. 21 and 9. And it says there, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Oh, that's the ultimate victory. The Lamb's wife, the bride, the church of Jesus Christ. All who are redeemed, all who have been washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, are presented by Christ, the head of the church, to his Father in heaven. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Come hither, he says there, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Some may glory in money. Plenty of those today. Some may glory in fame. Some may glory in their power. We think of the great presidents and kings of this world. But we will glory in the cross of Christ. May we get back to the cross. You know, it was the place of pain. It was a place of physical and spiritual pain. He suffered. He suffered the cruelty of man. Your sins nailed him there. Mocked him, God's lovely son. Oh, what pain he had to bear. Jeremiah says, is it nothing to you that pass by? Is it nothing to you tonight that pass by the cross and turn your head the other way? God smote him spiritually. He bore hell itself for you and for me. God smote him. The Lord hath laid on him, as we've said, the iniquity of us all. He gave his life a ransom. He stepped into death to appease the wrath of God and bore my hell upon the cross for me. It's a place of peace. You know, the Bible makes it plain that the sinner is at enmity with God or at war with God. You know, you can't be neutral. You're not just standing there undecided, but rather the Bible says you're actually at war against God. You're going farther and farther and farther away from God every day of your life. But the Bible says he, that is Christ, made peace through the blood of his cross. The Bible also says there is no peace to the wicked. My friend, tonight, look into your own heart. Take away all the self-righteousness. Take away all the filthy rags of your life. Take a look inside. Take a look at your heart. See the capability of sin. See the unrest. See the troubled soul and the burdens. And then listen. Listen to the words of Christ. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, thank God. The Bible says, Christ says, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. If your heart tonight is troubled, if sin, if you feel the weight of sin in your heart, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you peace and rest, because it's a place of pardon. All my sin is gone. Past, present, future. Price was high. God's only Son. He died on Calvary to pardon sin. Pardon. I looked up that word yesterday. Many, many variations of what it means, but some are to acquit, to forgive, to release, to reprieve, grace, mercy, remission. All these words to the believer are beautiful words. Is sin troubling you tonight? Do you long for pardon? Do you long to be released? Do you long to be acquitted from your sin, to be reprieved? Look to Calvary. Don't look to the church. Don't look to me. Don't look to this denomination, but look to Christ. See him as your substitute, the one who died in your room and in your stead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him tonight as your Lord? My friend, his good friend, as it were, at that time, Judas turned his back on him and went into the night. Don't you do that tonight. Don't you go out that door and turn your back upon Christ. The rich young ruler, he walked away from Christ. He walked away, I believe, into a lost eternity, away from Christ, because he wasn't prepared to give up something. Something ultimately in eternity means absolutely nothing at all. Riches. Felix, that governor in Judea, trembled when Paul gave his testimony to him, when he told him that he needed to be saved. He trembled, yet turned away from God. The Pharisees, with all their pomp and pride, with all their religion, they put something in his place. They put their good deeds, they put their good works, just like Cain. Oh, I'm not going to bring this lamb, this sacrifice, this bloody sacrifice, but I will bring to God that which I can do. That which I can do with my hands. See, God, how good I am. Good works will take you to hell. My friend, I ask the question tonight, what about you? What about you tonight? Have you been to the cross? Have you been to that place where Jesus washes sin away? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, that day when those of us who are saved can look back and remember when the burden of sin was lifted away. And what a day in the future. What a day that's going to be when we see Jesus. When every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. May you come to know him. May you come tonight in repentance. Repentance is the key at the cross. Come and bow. Come and bow before Him. Admit you're a sinner and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you. And He'll take you in tonight. I can guarantee that by the authority of this word, that if you come in repentance and ask Him for forgiveness, you'll go out of here tonight a saved, redeemed man, woman, young person, older person. May you come to know Him for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.